Live from the Shangri-La of South County.
Coming to you from Rust and Tustin in the State of Disrepair.
In the morning, Nothing Penetration.
In the morning, Brian Black.
I've got a noisy background today.
Yeah, you're a little off on the intro, too.
Yeah. 1 week break and I get rusty. That's how fast it was.
Yeah, sorry. Didn't make last week.
Did you buy that iPad? You're going to get it right before the show.
Picked it up today.
Did you even unbox it?
No, I haven't unboxed it yet. I'm not going to have time to mess with it tonight.
Okay.
I was playing with the one in the store plenty, though. I just got the base one, the iPad Pro, the 10.5 inch, 64 gig Wi-Fi. Every year at this time, Best Buy has an Apple sale. And I always end up buying something this time of year from Best Buy that's Apple. Every year. It's funny because you cannot, like, it's like you have to pretty much hop on board right when that sale starts, because it's supposed to run until like Christmas, and they don't even drop the prices any more than they already are for Black Friday and stuff like that. So you pretty much just have to hop on and get what you can while you can before stuff sells out, because they already sold out of all of the freaking... I wanted to get one of those leather sleeves, you know, like Kwa has for his, and they're all sold out because they had, I think they were marked down like $40.
Oh.
They're normally like $129. So yeah. So those are all gone. Like, all of the iPhone cases are gone. Pretty much the only stuff that's left is like the actual like devices. So I didn't ask if they had the 4K Apple TV in stock, but they had one on display. So I kind of assumed that they already came out. Is that true?
Yeah, I think people already have them.
Okay, so they must have not had any in stock then, because there was nothing on the shelves, and like they didn't, when I looked on the sale on the website, it didn't say anything about the Apple TV 4K. It's possible that it's not included in the sale either, though, because it just came out. But, yeah, not bad. Four-month-old iPad for $150 off.
Is it even that old? Because it's still marked as new on Apple's website.
I think they released it in June.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not paying attention. But I want to buy a 12.9. And the cellular version is not included in that deal.
Yeah, you don't need the cellular.
It's
an unnecessary expense, because you got to pay like another $100 just for the LTE chip. Yeah, well, that's what mine is too. But you're still paying more.
I know. You get real GPS, and I'm going to have cell service on it. I'll have Verizon and AT&T. I can pick whatever network I want.
Oh, that's cool. If you have separate networks, then you can hop on whichever one.
Yeah. I'll be able to tether with two unlimited plans.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea then. But adding it to your existing plan is just stupid. Because it's using the same... Assuming you don't have unlimited data, it's using the same pool of data that your other device is. You're having to pay a line access fee for that device. And then you're paying the extra $100 for the LTE chip in the iPad.
Yeah, the way they account for
it. So is it really worth...
It's sketchy. The Apple Watch is $17 a month, not $10, because it's all the fees. Because they count it as a line, so it gets taxed with $7 in taxes.
It's insane. There's no way that using that is worth $17 a month. It's probably going to be a shit experience 75% of the time.
It's pretty frustrating. $10 a month sounded like a pretty good deal, considering it's a separate line. Sort of. It shares the same number. Although I think that the service provider does some type of thing with their routing to bounce the call to your Apple Watch, but your Apple Watch technically has its own number, just like your iPad does.
Okay. That... I don't know. It just seems like it's not worth dealing with all of that. I don't actually know anyone that even has one yet. I know Alex bought one and then he returned it because he didn't like it. But I don't know anyone that actively has one.
What, the iPad or data plan on it?
No.
Are you talking about the Apple Watch?
The new Apple Watch is what I mean.
Well, anytime you buy the Series 3, I'm pretty sure it... Or no, it's anytime you buy a Steel Series 3, it has a cellular modem included. You can't get a Steel watch without cellular now. It will be...
What about the ceramic?
Well, yeah. Yeah, that has it included. It's included in anything Steel and up. And I think there's an aluminum model that has it. But only the aluminum model has... I think
ceramic's the most expensive.
Yeah. Only the aluminum model has Wi-Fi only as an option.
Okay.
Or was it all Series 3 that had the cellular?
I don't know. I didn't... That was kind of the one thing I didn't really have any interest in the last keynote, was the new Apple Watch. I saw the video where, like, they did the call from out on the lake, and I'm like, yeah, right.
I don't know how they synced all that up with the video.
I think it was all... I don't think it was a real demonstration.
It could have been.
What lake did they say it was?
I don't know. What, you don't think
pretty close to the nearest cell tower with that little tiny LTE chip in that thing.
They would have had a demo set up perfectly so that it focused power just on that one device.
Oh, you think they set up like an M cell or something? Or microcell on the... Okay.
What's that? The Apple exec that got fired over the Apple Maps?
I don't remember. That was a long time ago.
Well, he did an interview recently, and he said when they demoed the iPhone to the T-Mobile exec, they paid for every room in the hotel to have Wi-Fi so that they could just open it up to the public. So they wrote him a check for like $10,000 for the day and then just left the network open so that when they pulled the iPhone out, there would be no interstitial page that would interrupt him from doing the demo.
Interesting. Do you think that that's something Steve Jobs would have let happen if he was alive?
What?
Hello?
Can you not hear me?
You just broke out, broke up for a second.
Oh. Like what happened?
Hello, can you say that again?
Can you... Is it packet loss?
It sounds like there's something going on.
Yeah, what?
It's like there's popping or like dropping in and out, like audio's cutting out.
I wonder if my audio interface is taking a dump.
Yeah, you're cutting up, you're breaking up real bad.
How about now? Any better? Testing, one,
that's
two.
Better. Yeah.
Why is this better? This doesn't make any sense.
Although I hear like some squealing in the background now, but
I know.
You're not breaking up, at least.
I hope that this recording turns out okay, because I think I upgraded my software, and I'm hearing two of you.
Uh-oh.
There's like a chorus of Nates talking to me. It sounds pretty bizarre. I'll cross my fingers and hope this works.
What were we talking about before?
I don't know, I'm moving on. Pre-order the iPhone X, yes or no?
I know some people that are pre-ordering it, but I'm not going to get one. I'm going to wait until they work in what should have been there, which is Touch ID. They're going to find some way how to do it in the next year or two.
They're not going back.
They've already invested all this stuff into Touch ID. Why would they just get rid of it?
Because...
And what are they going to do for the iPad?
You'll see. This is probably better. I've never used it. But the way
recording.
It seems like it's implemented... When you pick up your device, like when I watched my grandma grab her iPhone SE that she has no clue how to use and completely didn't understand Touch ID. Like she's had this phone for a year. It's the iPhone SE. And instead of just using Touch ID, just picking up her phone, pressing the button and using the phone, she would like tap it, wake it up, and then punch in her PIN.
Yeah, Well, I've seen people do that, possibly one of my relatives, and I just showed them how to do Touch ID and how to, well, I set it up for them with their finger, and then I showed them how to do it, and then I'm pretty sure they use it every time now because it's just easier.
Even if I showed it to them, because there's nothing that forces them to use it, it's because they have to intend on like pressing it versus just some cameras, just the phone being unlocked when they look at their device. There's trade-offs to both, but it kind of looks like they did it right. We'll see.
Yeah.
I bet they're one in a million number.
Regarding,
yeah.
I was going to say, regarding the 10, though, the other thing, too, is I don't know, and I'm sure we've talked about this before, but I don't know if I trust the facial recognition on that. I don't want to rely on that every day to unlock my phone. I know you could enter the freaking PIN code again, but it's like, I don't know. It's just, I find it hard to believe that they're going to remove the ease of use of the Touch ID and just completely go with the facial recognition.
They won't go back. There's no chance.
Well, no, they're not going to go back. They're just going to stay the course, I think, and they're just going to find a way to work it in to the display. With OLED, technically, it's possible. Can't do it with an LCD.
I was under the impression that they developed the whole technology around that, but I don't know how it would have worked through the display anyway. Seems pretty complicated. Maybe it was ultrasound or something.
I mean, but just look at all the tech going into the Widow's Peak part of it. Supposedly that part of the phone is what took them the longest to develop. Like, by far.
Well, that's the Face ID. And they're basically, if they're going to use like this in all the products, it's going to be the foundation of all their new devices. So I could imagine a MacBook or MacBook Pro or an iMac having a Face ID configuration at the top of the display.
What do you think the power usage in CPU usage is of all of those things working together every single time you need to unlock the phone?
I imagine that they've got to make it pretty low power, and that's why they've been developing that M chip, that passively, whatever, I think it's the M series chip. It does the passive monitoring of voice for Hey Siri and for motion. Like the motion coprocessor. I think it does all of those functions. And that low power chip probably has something to do with Face ID. And if it doesn't, then out of like the 6 cores that are in that new chip, I'm sure one of the low power chips is dedicated to it. Luckily, it only looks for your face for the period of time that the authentication screen is up.
Yeah, I'm just curious to see how that's going to work in different environments and different situations. It's like, what if you, like, you know, okay, let's say you got your phone docked on your dashboard. And what if you don't want to, like, I mean, regardless, I guess it doesn't matter if it happens, but, you know, you're going to, every time you look directly at the phone, you could look up, look at the cars, traffic, whatever, look away, not look at your phone for like a minute. It goes off. You look at your phone again. It turns on, you know, it's just like it do, you know, that's just one example, but you would be turning your phone on constantly every time you look at it. What if you don't want to, like, you know, have it turn on every time you look at it?
I don't think it turns on when you look at it.
So you have to press the button first on the side and then look at it? Like, or the wake button or whatever?
It. You'd use it like any phone. Exactly.
See, that's
the same
problem.
Way you use
like,
your phone
if it's
now.
In. So, okay. So then if you're in your car then you would have to take it off whatever
mounts.
Exactly
the same way you use it now.
Well, the way I use it now is I just press the Touch ID button and then it reads my fingerprint and then I'm in iOS. Whereas with this, you'd have to look at it. But if it's off, do you have to press what I'm asking is, do you have to press the wake button on the side first?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I think, or raise it, one or the other. But if it's locked into a mount, I guess you'd be squeezing the button on the side.
Yeah. I guess that's not too bad.
Or
does your face have to be centered, or
you can just tell it open an app, open Maps or something, and then it'll prompt you for your password or Face ID. But yeah, the camera your mouth and your eyes have, or your nose and your eyes have to be in frame. So it's not really clear whether or not you're in frame. But if it's that far away, like at your dashboard, that would probably work.
Yes, yeah, that's why I'm saying, like, I like the device itself. I just question how well all of the facial recognition stuff's going to work with it. I'll let other people be the guinea pigs for the first year, and then if they release one with built-in Touch ID or not, I'll probably end up getting the next one. Because my contract will be up, or my device financing will be up.
That's pretty much what I'm doing. I'm on the next cycle. So, revision 2 of the same phone, I guess. That would work nice, because then we don't get all the bugs.
Yep.
We're finally on the good cycle.
Yeah.
Although I would say we were on the good cycle to begin with. Because we got all the new devices.
And then Apple screwed it up.
Now it's out of sync. So you're trying to sell a Mac Pro on, what is it, Craigslist or eBay?
Craigslist. And people just don't want, apparently, a Mac Pro, even though it still works great. You know, it has upgraded RAM. They just don't, for whatever reason, don't think it's worth $600. Which, if you're...
Or not a dual
socket. It's a quad. Yeah, it's not a dual socket. But if you were to get one of those, it would be twice the value. Because that was like a $4,000 machine. $3,500, whatever.
But maybe that's not the competitive price. I don't know. Or nobody in your area is looking.
Their actual market value for like resale is like $1,200. It's because anything that supports the latest OS is still, it still has value. The second it stops supporting the newest releases, it just drops like crazy. It's not even like you couldn't. I wonder if you could sell like an original iPad Air. How much you would get for that? Because that's probably not going to support beyond like the next release.
I think those things drop $100 a year because Apple shifts them down one tier in the product cycle.
But it's only got 1 gig of RAM though. So it's like, it can't, I don't see how it could run anything later than iOS 11.
Yeah, my third gen iPad, how much RAM does that have?
The nice thing about the 10.5 Pro is that it's future proof too, because it's got 4 gigs of RAM. So it's double what the 9.7 was.
1 gig of RAM.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not enough. My third gen iPad is really slow. An iPad Air with a gig of RAM would be a little cramped. That would be really cramped, actually, because that's such a big screen. If you had a single browser tab open, but didn't you have an iPad Air 2?
No, I got the first one. Yeah, I returned it and then I got a 2013 or a 13 inch MacBook, and then I returned that, and then I got a 15 inch, and I stuck with that.
And now you have the Pro, the second one,
the iPad Pro, yeah, the 10.5.
Did you get 64, 128, or what? No,
I just got the 64.
Okay,
I just got, because it's already up from the lowest. Because like, if you were going to get any other iPad, you would get the, because they don't sell the Mini anymore. And as far as I know, they don't sell the Airs anymore. So the only other iPad you can get is just the iPad, the one that came out with this year. That's only got 2 gigs of RAM. And it's got an old CPU. And so why not just spend $150 more, or what would the difference be? I think those are $300 or $329 for the, you know what I'm talking about? The revised iPad they came out with this year, which is basically an Air 2.
The one that's $350?
$329, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, why not spend $120 or $130 more and get the Pro, you know?
Isn't it $650?
Is it what?
It's $650, but you just got a discount.
I got a discount. But it's got twice the base model has twice the storage, and it has twice the memory, and a bigger screen. The performance difference for the price is totally justified. I don't know. Like, it, that's when I was texting you earlier today, when we were in our group chat, when I was saying how the 60 hertz feels slow. Maybe it's just because I was using it on that one. It just felt slow and janky, even maybe compared to the old Air 2.
You just can't go back from the new display, because it has half the response time, I think.
I think it just makes it much more noticeable when it's a bigger screen like that. Versus, you know, what's on our phones.
It's extremely responsive to your finger when you drag a web page, and the refresh rate's really, really fast, and the pixel response is fast, so you can read the text even though it's flying up the screen. It's still sharp and smooth in that animation. And if you give something, if you're dragging a web page on a 60 hertz iPad, you can see the slight delay where the text, your finger will drift off the text as you're pulling it up and down the screen. And it's pretty minor, unless you're doing a big swipe, and then you can really see it drag behind. But normally, just touching text on an iPad and then scrolling up, the text normally doesn't get revealed from behind your finger, so you don't normally notice it. But the clarity of the text in that smooth swipe animation is just incredibly sharp on the new iPad Pro.
It's really impressive to use in person. There's nothing that comes close to it, really. There's no Android device that has a display like that.
There's no device that I know of is like that. It's a one of a kind touchscreen.
So for $500, I think it's a pretty good deal. And then, you know, the storage aside, and that's the problem, though, is that when they went from the 9.7 to the 10.5, they upped the base price by $50. So now if you want to double the storage, instead of it being $100 more, it's $150 more for each upgrade. So even if I wanted the 256, I'm not paying another $150 just for, you know, another 128 gigs of storage. When I already pay on top of that for... That's the nice thing about iCloud Drive now, is if you pay $3 a month for, what is it, I think you get 500 gigs or 250?
Yeah, I think it's like 200 or something.
200. Yeah, it's like you can, everything you need, you can just offload onto that. Well, everything that you need but you're not readily using, you can offload onto that.
I'm trying to check the storage amount right now. 200 gigs. But I'm paying $299. Is there a $199 price tier?
I thought I said $299. Did I say $199?
I don't know.
There's a 99 cents. That's the...
Yeah, and then it jumps up. Yeah, it goes 50, 200, then 2 terabytes.
1 terabyte's $999.
It's 2 terabytes now. Free upgrade.
Oh, okay.
They used to have... 1 terabyte was $20 a month, I think, and then they lowered the price, and then on top of that they increased the storage without you having to do anything.
Excuse me.
They really just want people on those recurring billing. Did you hear about the Infineon broken RSA generator, key generator?
No. What's Infineon? Well, I know makes, in an RSA. Go ahead.
They make hardware crypto devices for like a TPM chip that a business would use to encrypt their hard drive, a YubiKey, and long story short, they're all flawed.
Wonderful.
It's like hundreds of millions of key fobs and devices that use those chips.
So do we get our money back?
Nope. You're fucked. If you generate a key size larger than 2048, if you can, on that particular device, you won't have a problem. But there's a flaw in the way it generates its default 2048-bit key. So any business that has encrypted data with that key and then didn't wipe the drive, assuming that the TPM would be able to, well, I guess you'd have to reveal the public key or something with the TPM. But anyway, you can reverse pretty much any of the encryption that was using these systems. You can crack it. The key space is super guessable because it's so limited. So I guess you just pre-compute keys until you hit the jackpot. Gemalto, however you say that company, they made little key fobs that went to basically every corporation that has a key fob for like authenticating things around the office or to sign in like with a CAC card or something if you work in some line of work that has secret information. You plug your CAC card in, and if it has one of these Gemalto cryptographic key fobs that has this Infineon chip, all the keys are broken. For lack of a better word. There's a country, and all of their IDs, they have these like cryptographic ID. They have some cryptographic ID system. All of it was generated with Infineon chips. I think it's Estonia. I don't remember, though. But anybody there can potentially become anybody with the authentic key and like cryptographically prove that they are who they say they are, even though it's not them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Apple used any of these chips, but Yubico did. So everybody's YubiKey.
I think I just found an article on this story.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I never invested
Channel,
in them.
Nate, link to Forbes.com.
I was in Atmel and NXP for my hardware crypto. Oh, this
Infineon's a German company.
I've always known them for making fiber optic cables or fiber optic laser systems, like for networking. Mobility
I've
and
never
security.
Heard of them before.
Keys. Yeah.
I was going to change the topic.
Yeah.
Are you going to get Mario Odyssey?
I don't really play single player games. I'd like to play it. I think you can rent them now.
Well, yeah, definitely rent it then. So you can play it. But it's
Redbox?
Got really good reviews right now. No, Redbox isn't. They do. Gamefly does game rentals, but I don't know if they do Switch games.
Redbox.com/games.
What?
Yep. That would be pretty cool. I could buy Nintendo games like back in the day, rent them at Blockbuster.
Yeah. You're breaking up on and off.
Oh. I need a new laptop. They need to make one with 32 gigs of RAM.
Yeah. Do you think the next MacBook Pros are going to have that?
They better. I've been waiting. I'm trying to find my link. The link to Redbox. Play at home. This has to be a Redbox. It's a big red box. I just have an image or something from Reddit.
Nate moving from root by the server.
Sorry. Did you disconnect?
Yeah.
Oh.
I just triggered my VPN connection. My bad.
Yeah, I'll rent the game, I'll play it, and then I don't have to own it longer than I play it. Because realistically, yeah. I'll play it for a day. That's it.
The Mario games have lots of replayability, though.
Never played one more than once. Any of them.
Mario and Zelda, those are the two games. Although the Zelda games have changed kind of too much for my liking, but the Mario games have kind of always stayed true, so I like those a lot. The last true Mario game they came out with, like real Mario game, was like 13 years ago with Mario Sunshine. The Mario Galaxy games were not, they were more like mini, they were like Mario games, but just like broken up into small bits.
I got to the menu on Mario Galaxy, and then I was done.
Yeah, it wasn't very good. I didn't like it very much. But the new one definitely looks good, and it's got really good reviews. It's got like 10, IGN gave it a 10 out of 10, which is... They're kind of like Nintendo shills there, so I'm not surprised by that. But that's still pretty good.
What else happened? We had a LAN party.
Yep.
We had a good 32-player server going. I don't think you or the other side of the room played. It's always just you, Richard, and Grant.
Yeah, it was pretty funny when we played Left 4 Dead, how we kicked your guys' ass. But then when we played TF2... But then when we played TF2, you guys beat us every time.
Oh yeah, you guys got punished. You never won once.
No, we didn't. Yeah, Left 4 Dead, the versus is fun. When you have a perfect 8 to play that.
It's proof. It's proof that because I was eating, we lost the game.
Oh please, you weren't even the worst player. I was killing Quag, Chris, over and over and over again. I wasn't even targeting them. They just happened to be in my line of sight every time I was a smoker or a spitter or something like that. Yeah, that game. I really hope Valve makes a third one because that franchise is good. They need to maybe not make it over like super different, but just kind of make it different enough that it's appealing. Because obviously they couldn't just keep the same, you know, like the guns with terrible field of view. I mean, if you go back and if you play that game now versus like when it came out like 7 or 8 years ago, it's in a lot of aspects it hasn't held up very well.
When the game first came out, didn't they have some multi-path thing, some gimmick where you'd play the map multiple times and it would send you a slightly different path? I definitely recall having certain doorways closed off and you had to go a different route the next time you played.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did that, but I never...
It's gone. I've never seen that again. And I'm really certain that was part of the gimmick, was you can play the map again, but sometimes you have to go through some bar, and the other time you've got to go like around through a city street, but ultimately you go to the same place, but it's a slightly different direction. I wonder if they patched that out or something, because didn't they release some big patch that fixed all their textures so they looked less shit?
I think they updated the Source engine like right after this came out, and it looked really good at the time.
Let's consult the Book of Knowledge. Campaign maps. New paths, randomness, seating. Maybe I imagine that. I'm not seeing anything on Google right now. I bet there's a YouTube video on it.
But yeah, we hope Valve still ends up making more games.
Was it The Passing, where you're in New Orleans and go through some...
Oh, the graveyard?
The one where you go through a bar, you like get off a boat. I think it's the first map, the first campaign.
Yeah, that's The Passing. It's like the New Orleans Parish. I think it's called The Parish. That's it.
Okay.
I think The Passing was a DLC that they added later with the original characters. I think it's more where Bill dies, the old guy. Remember that?
No.
His like body slumped over.
I think. That was the Left 4 Dead 1 characters, right?
Yeah. But you know how they added in the Left 4 Dead 1 characters later?
After they merged Left 4 Dead the story? Yeah.
Yeah. Then they like crossed paths at one point. There's one of the maps, like Bill dies in that storyline. And so you see like his corpse there with a like an M16. I think you can pick it up too.
Yeah, I think I remember that. You have to survive on the bridge or something.
Yeah, well, it's like you use like a gas generator or something to lower it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have to watch one of these videos. People don't fill out their show notes very detailed. I'm pretty sure that was a real thing. I've been thinking about that for a while.
Thinking about what?
About whether or not they changed that. Here's a video from 2009. It's got to be in here. I'll watch this one later.
They had actual weapon Bob originally before too. I remember watching videos from E3 where the shotgun, like the auto shotgun, the top bar on it would like bounce around when you would run, and like there'd be actual like weight and physics to the guns when you would move. And for whatever reason, when it came launch time, that wasn't there. Everything was very static. That's one of my biggest problems with that game. And like, it kind of takes me out of the experience at times, is how static all of the weapons are.
Yeah, it's like Counter-Strike.
They don't even exhibit even remotely close to what the...
Counter-Strike. That's a characteristic of all of Valve's games. It's dated their games because pretty much everybody has Weapon Bob or whatever other characteristics you're referring to, where it feels like you're the character. When you play any of these Valve games, the first thing that I notice after playing something like Insurgency, where they have kinetic energy behind your movement, where you have to, it takes like a 1.5 seconds or something to go to full speed when you start sprinting from a dead stop. In Counter-Strike, you're just full speed instantly. Almost.
Yeah.
It's really, really fast. So acceleration's really fast. Weapons never bob. You don't need iron sights. You just spray at the crosshairs in the middle of your screen. Also, the crosshairs mean nothing, because the bullets just spray all around the crosshairs.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what a perfect example is? Like the M16 in Left 4 Dead 2. It's so shit. It just sprays everywhere. Yeah. It's not realistic at all. That gun's got a freaking 20-inch barrel. There's no way it has that much spread.
Oh yeah, we played Black Wake at the LAN.
Oh yeah, I didn't play with you guys though. I didn't have the right. I had my MacBook with me. I didn't bring my rig.
It was just the two of us on the ship called the Too Late to Lube.
They keep updating that game. They're supporting it pretty well.
It's a good game. Very fun.
It needs more people. It needs a lot more people though. I think the player base was like around like 200 to 300, which is not good.
Yeah, that's just enough for two full servers.
Yeah.
Because you have like 64 people in there. Some of the ships have 16 players. Other ones, like Too Late to Lube, they only have like 8. But we sneak attack you. And it's Too Late to Lube.
uh,
Let's call it.
Okay.
BringYourWallet.com/contact for feedback and suggestions. BringYourWallet.com/donate. Support the show and share the show. See you next week.
Sayonara.